This is Backseat Box Office, episode number 215, for the weekend of December 19th through December 21st. Hey, this is Jeff.
And this is Art.
And we are the Backseat Producers, and you are listening to Backseat Box Office. Yeah, this is getting old is not fun, and sleep deprivation is not fun. So, Art, how are you, sir?
I am doing well. I am just a couple days away from being off for the week of Christmas.
Wow. Yes, I can't really complain. I just have to work Monday and Tuesday of next week, and other than that, that will carry me through to our holidays or our family's holidays.
Nice.
Yeah. So looking forward to a nice long weekend. And speaking of weekends, let's talk about how the box office did last week.
Nice segue.
Thank you, sir. At number one, we have Exodus: Gods and Kings. Coming in at $24.1 million. At number two, we have The Hunger Games. I guess I have to say it now. Mockingjay - Part One at $12.7 million. At number three, no punctuation, Penguins of Madagascar, $7.2 million. At number four, top five at $9 million. And at number five, we have Big Hero 6 still hanging around. We love you, Baymax. At $6 million even, or $6 million even. Okay, yeah. Yes, yeah, so Jeff is learning how to enunciate again. Okay, so there's your top five. Anything stick out to you, sir?
It's just another sad week. They are just, there was anything better they could have stuck in this slot. I suppose that they didn't want anything really lingering in the weeks leading up to The Hobbit, because that's just going to destroy things and push them down the list. I don't know. It just seems really weird. $24 million seems for Exodus like a good amount, considering I didn't think it would do well at all. Isn't that what Penguins did on its opening weekend? About $24 million.
Sounds about right.
Yeah. So I guess that's not bad. I wonder what they spent on it.
Exodus says 140 million.
Oh, that hurts.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just clicked through on that. That's painful.
Interesting that top five made it into the top four, which probably wouldn't have happened at other times during the year. But it did make $6.9 million on 979 theaters.
Yeah,
I mean, so it almost had the highest average. Wild, the Reese Witherspoon movie, made 13,000 per screen. And as I look down the list, Imitation Game actually averaged 34,000 a screen.
Look at Inherent Vice.
Oh, Inherent Vice, 65,000.
Yeah, so it was only on five screens. It made a third of $1 million. So, yes. It is a sad time. I can't wait to see the numbers for The Hobbit. I probably won't be going. Well, we'll get into that later.
Yeah.
Let's talk about what's coming up.
Yeah. So, let's talk about the three movies that are coming out in wide release this weekend. And the first one, we're going to talk about Night at the Museum, Secret of the Tomb. Currently 52% on the tomato meter. There have been 23 reviews, 12 fresh and 11 rotten. And out of a roughly 73,000 Rotten Tomatoes users, 97% want to see it. So here's the description. Get ready for the wildest and most adventure-filled night at the museum ever as Larry, Ben Stiller, spans the globe, uniting favorite and new characters while embarking on an epic quest to save the magic before it is gone forever. Rated PG for mild action, some rude humor, and brief language. This is action and adventure and comedy, directed by Sean Levy, written by David Guyon and Michael Handelman. Parents, this will cost you an hour and 30 minutes of your life. And that brings me to another point. Did you see the first two Night at the Museums?
I have seen the first two Night at the Museum.
Did you enjoy them?
I enjoyed the first one more than the second one, when it was still very novel.
So we talked about Ben Stiller. Most people know that Robin Williams, this is one of his final movies. He plays Teddy, or reprises his role as Teddy Roosevelt. Owen Wilson, Ben Kingsley as a character name I cannot pronounce. Steve Coogan as Octavius. Rebel Wilson as Tilly, a British security guard. Ricky Gervais as Dr. McPhee. Dick Van Dyke as Cecil. And Mickey Rooney as Gus.
Interesting.
Fortunately, I don't think the kids, either they haven't seen it yet or they're not that excited about it. So I don't think that there's going to be a great need for me to take them to theater to see this.
Yeah. No, this is a, when this comes out on cable, I'll watch this probably.
Yeah. I've seen the trailer multiple times, and when they had to put a monkey urination joke in the trailer, not a good sign, at least for me.
No, it wasn't, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so that was Night at the Museum. Art, why don't you tell us about Annie?
Okay, Annie. Annie is currently 21% on the tomato meter. 28 reviews counted, 6 fresh, 22 rotten. 86% want to see it out of 22,000 user ratings. A Broadway classic that has delighted audience for generations comes to the big screen with a new contemporary vision in Columbia Pictures comedy, Annie. Director, producer, screenwriter Will Gluck teams with producers James Lasseter, Will Smith, and Jada Pinkett Smith, and Sean J.Z. Carter, Lawrence J. Brown, and Tyron Ty Smith, with modern tellings that captures the magic of the classic characters and original show that won 7 Tony Awards. Celia Costa serves as executive producer. The screenplay is by Will Gluck and Aline Broche McKenna, based on the musical stage play Annie, book by Thomas Meehan, music by Charles Strauss, lyrics by Martin Charnin, and on Little Orphan Annie, and Tribune Media Services, Inc., Academy Award nominee. Wow.
Let's just go with Q.
Quizhane Wallace, Beast of the Southern Wild, which I enjoyed, stars as Annie, a young, happy foster kid who's also tough enough to make her way on the streets in New York in 2014. Originally left by her parents as a baby with the promise that they'd be back for her someday, it's been a hard knock life ever since with her mean foster mom, Miss Hannigan, Cameron Diaz. But everything's about to change when the hard-nosed tycoon and New York mayoral candidate Will Stacks, Jamie Foxx, advises his brilliant VP, Grace Rose Byrne, that his shrewd and scheming campaign advisor, Guy, Bobby Cannavale, makes a thinly veiled campaign move and takes her in. Stacks believes he's her guardian angel, but Annie's self-assured nature and bright sun will come out tomorrow outlook on life just might mean it's the other way around. Rated PG for some mild language and rude humor. Drama, kids and family, musical, and performing arts. Directed by Will Gluck. Written by Emma Thompson, Thomas Meehan, Aileen Brosh McKenna. 1 hour and 58 minutes. Jamie Foxx, who we've talked about. Actually, all these people were named except for a couple of people who I don't know. David Zayas and Adewale Akinwunmi. My necktie. I don't know. I think it's interesting that making the main characters black, but not changing all the characters, and I don't know. I think they should have changed all the main characters if they were going to do that to kind of turn the whole thing on its ear. Because then I kind of feel like maybe it's just me, but why are the villains all staying white? Blah 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 blah. Am I reading too much into this?
Yeah. I don't know. I can't really comment.
Yeah, I'm really interested. Even with all the bad ratings, I've always enjoyed Annie. Even the really terrible one they did in, like, was it the 80s?
Yeah. I've probably seen this trailer in the theater probably about 8 times, and it looks a little better every time I see it. So I don't know. I think we might end up going to Cedar Theatres. I don't know. But I do need to mention the choice blurb review on the Rotten Tomatoes page for this movie. Jason Clark from Entertainment Weekly, a magazine I subscribe to. Aside from an unintentional homage to Zoolander that is so tone-deaf it will make you guffaw, Annie goes out of its way to make viewing it a hard-knock life
Ouch.
for us. Yeah, so that was a rotten, in case you
You
didn't
really
know.
got to go into this. Yeah, you really got to go into this, expecting it's. I mean, I don't know. It's a musical. It's a certain kind of movie, and it's gonna. It's something that they're probably looking to appeal more to kids, with a little something thrown in for the adults. There's some good sight gags in the trailer. I don't know. Like I said, I'm interested, but I don't know. I have a thing for musicals, I think.
Yeah, I mean, they're not reinventing the wheel. You're not getting,
Exactly.
inventive story. I mean, you kind of expect what you're gonna see.
Right. Exactly.
Almost, you might evaluate just like a sports movie, that everything's gonna be all right in the end, kind of thing.
Yes. All right, let's go to the one we're really all here
All right,
for.
fanboy alert. We're talking about Hobbit. Next movie coming out wide release, The Hobbit: The Battle of the Five Armies. Teetering on fresh at 61%, 134 reviews, 82 fresh, 52 rotten. And for the audience, it seems like this has been out for a while because it says people that want to see it. This has the popcorn 83% liked it out of 162,559 users. So here's the description. From Academy Award-winning filmmaker Peter Jackson comes The Hobbit: The Battle of the Five Armies, the third in a trilogy of films adapting the enduring, that's a good word, popular masterpiece The Hobbit by J.R.R. Tolkien. The Hobbit: The Battle of the Five Armies brings to an epic conclusion the adventures of Bilbo Baggins, Thorin Oakenshield, and the Company of Dwarves. Having reclaimed their homeland from the dragon Smaug, the company has unwittingly unleashed a deadly force into the world. Enraged, Smaug rains his fiery wrath down upon the defenseless men, women, and children of Laketown. Obsessed above all else with his reclaimed treasure, Thorin sacrifices friendship and honor to hoard it as Bilbo's frantic attempts to make him see, excuse me, attempts to make him see reason drive the hobbit towards a desperate and dangerous choice. But there are even greater dangers ahead. Unseen by any but the wizard Gandalf, the great enemy Sauron has sent forth legions of orcs in a stealth attack upon the Lonely Mountain. As darkness converges on their escalating conflict, the races of dwarves, elves, and men must decide, unite or be destroyed. Bilbo finds himself fighting for his life and the life, excuse me, and the lives of his friends in the epic battle of the five armies as the future of Middle-earth hangs in the balance. PG-13 for extended sequences of intense fantasy action violence and frightening images. Action adventure, science fiction, fantasy. Directed by Peter Jackson. Written by Peter Jackson, Philippa Boyens, Guillermo del Toro, Fran Walsh. Oh, yeah, and J.R.R. Tolkien. Runtime is 2 hours and 24 minutes, so it's not Return of the King length, but anything over 2 hours could be longish. Pretty much the same cast of characters. I don't think there's anyone that's going to be in this that wasn't in the second one.
No.
So yeah, I very nearly ended up going to this tonight,
Nice.
but apparently I'm not a good friend, so we're going to go see it Friday. So yeah, we'll see exactly what they came up with taking, a book that could have probably been one movie and, stretching out into three.
Okay, so very quickly, the Evangeline Lilly, isn't she the one who was just cast in and
Ant-Man.
we were talking about with Ant-Man? Okay, yeah,
Same actress.
gotcha. All right, just making sure I remember that correctly.
Yeah, she's an elf.
Yes, I am I'm still going to see this. I've seen the other two. I must finish it, as much as of a disappointment as the second one was. I'm definitely going to. I don't know if they're going to have the. I don't know if all the shows are showing it in the higher frame rate or if there will be.
You haven't heard a whole lot about that.
They haven't been talking about that, and I wonder if they're not doing it at all. That's really, I think, what made me dislike it the most was the way everything looked in the higher frame rate. It just made it look bad, in my opinion.
It's always fascinating, but that's kind of. You know, the discussion between the Nolans and the Tarantinos of the world is that they don't want to see TV quality in a theater.
Right.
Which is kind of what you get now because a lot of the HD channels. But yeah, my theater that we're probably going to go to see it, they have it listed as IMAX 3D 4K digital. It's just a higher, the 4K is kind of the, you know, you can get TVs now that are 4K. They're supposed to be better than I guess what they had before. But, but you're not seeing high frame rate listed at all. So hopefully they pulled back from that.
I certainly hope so.
Let me see what we got Friday. What time will I be going? Oh my gosh, they got 9 a.m.
Nice.
Oh man. Okay. Yeah. So yeah. The Hobbit, and that is the, or excuse me, the Hobbit, Battle of the Five Armies. I just blanked on it. Okay. So yes, that concludes the three movies coming out wide release. And so Art, why don't you kick us off on share time?
Okay. Well, it's all. Excuse me. Oh my goodness. It's all the usual suspects on my end. Still watching Elementary, still thoroughly enjoying it. All caught up on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., so I am firmly entrenched in the winter break. still really enjoying that. Remind me to send you a link of something I got that is related to Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. We'll do that towards the end of the show. Okay. I watched another Christmas movie, Snow Globe Christmas, I think it was called. Does that sound right?
Something
like that, yes. and it is about a lady who, it is actually, it's Alicia Witt again.
Oh, wow.
She is just all over the place, yes. And Turk from, bad. The Scrubs.
You're talking to John C. McGinley. That's not Turk, is it?
No, Turk is the black guy, his best friend.
Oh, Donald Faison?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so it says Alicia Witt, Donald Faison, Christina Milian.
So yeah. It was a good one. It was right at the end. It really got me. I was like, oh my goodness, I was really happy with that one. It was interesting. It was, you know, kind of that somebody who's kind of completely lost the Christmas spirit Family Man, or that one that Kevin Sorbo just did where you look at where your life might have been had you made a different decision.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, but that's not the life you ended up with, and blah, 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 regrets and making changes and changing your life. And those ones always get me. So I really enjoyed it. I recommend it. But there's a lot of Christmas movies going around, and I'm still probably going to watch more before before Christmas is done. We're probably going to watch a few tomorrow. It's my day off.
So. At least four times. Brittany
says Elf at least four times. Yeah. That's her favorite.
Oh, okay. Now, so I got a question for you guys then. Did you watch the Elf special that was on last night?
No, there was an Elf special on last night.
Yeah, it was a Buddy's Musical Christmas.
Buddy's Musical Christmas.
Now, it wasn't from... Okay, now, I forgot it was on last night.
Okay.
And so, I turned the TV on halfway through, And I decided, you know what, I'm just going to miss it. And I asked around at work, and I guess it was a steaming pile.
Oh.
So don't feel so bad that you missed it. Right. Sheldon himself, oh, God, I just blanked on his name. He is the voice for Buddy. They didn't get Will Ferrell.
Oh, okay.
So it's a little different. So.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay. I rewatched the Lego movie in most part because it was on in the background while I went to game night on Tuesday. I took Aubrey with me because there's another guy who comes and he brings his four-year-old daughter. And they were bestest friends and ran all around the entire night. But she couldn't stop watching the Lego movie, so I was watching it with her. For part of the night. And the other thing is Toy Story, The Land That Toys Forgot. Or the Toy Land, yeah, Land That Toys Forgot. Something like that. I don't know. Was really good. Another one of their little shorts. It was a half an hour, probably a little less, you know, take off commercials. But I'm really liking what they're doing with the continuation of Toy Story and the little girl. So I don't know if you saw that at all, but we'll get to that, I guess, in a minute.
No, I'm kicking myself because I didn't see it because you sent me the text.
I did.
And I remember doing that, but what day was that on?
I don't even remember. I'd have to look at my text record. I think it was a Friday night.
Friday I wasn't even home because we did our first session of Savage Worlds War of the Dead.
Gotcha. Okay, so nobody was home. You couldn't have, you know, texted somebody at home and said, hey, set this to record.
Yeah.
I am questioning your commitment, sir.
I could have, and you are fully justified in questioning my commitment. Because it just went whoop, over the head.
Yeah, no, you know what? If I cannot bust on anybody about forgetting things. Yeah. You hit 40 and things just start sliding off your brain.
Oh, yeah. 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 No, I totally agree with that.
So that is everything I remember watching. I'm sure there are things that I forgot.
Okay, so I had a really bad week as far as watching stuff. I did get to watch two more episodes of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., so I'm getting closer towards the end of this half season. And I'm enjoying it, even though there was a part where it was, you know, I couldn't believe they got that on network television when they were when they're showing about, you know, the operations and stuff. I thought it got really graphic. So I was,
yeah.
I was a little, ooh. So I definitely will have it all watched by next week. Now, usually what happens when I go to the library, I end up grabbing like four or five DVDs. And what happens is I probably watch one during the weekend and then I have to get it renewed. And then, you know, maybe get another one out. So of the last batch, I had one DVD left that I forgot about that somehow ended up under the bed. And it was a documentary that was put on by PBS. It's called D-Day 360. And it basically, the tagline is a data-driven look at the, you know, the siege on Normandy and Omaha Beach. And I'm not a big military history guy, and so I was fascinated at all the numbers that they were throwing around on that day, and how on, you know, the strategy of the Germans to fortify that beach, because if I remember correctly, we sent 150,000 troops to that beach and Germans had 30,000. And basically the moral of the story is that it was overwhelming odds. But Americans didn't do everything the best or that they could have. And it's just an interesting story. And there's still historians that are still going over every inch. And they're still, you know, figuring stuff out. So it was a very fascinating watch.
I really enjoy things like that. Yeah. I could sit and watch stuff like that all day long, but nobody will watch it with me.
Well, truth be told, I watch it by myself because I don't think the kids or my wife would be interested in that kind of stuff. And, you know, it's an intriguing time in the world. And even though my disdain for the game Axis and Allies kind of turned me around a little bit,
Gotcha.
So now, Amazon's killing me because I'm getting emails every day about games and stuff.
Right.
Well, and most of the, I didn't realize there's four different versions of Axis and Allies.
Oh yeah, no. And there's a lot more to that game than there used to be, than just the base game that was out so long ago. Have you ever heard of Memoir 44?
No.
Memoir 44 is from Days of Wonder, the same people who put out Small World and Shadows Over Camelot and Ticket to Ride, if you know any of those.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, and it is a Richard Borg game. He also did Battle Cry and Battle Lore, if you know either of those. But anyway, he's got a very interesting kind of card-driven mechanic. But the whole Memoir 44 is a very much a kind of World War II, you know, it's a two-player, very light war game.
I think I remember seeing that in the catalog that came with Ticket to Ride.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah. It was a very big game for them. They're a French-based company, and the game was kind of commissioned for the, would that have been 60th anniversary, 2004, I believe it came out in. But that is a good game, and it's right in that same kind of wheelhouse of looking back at, you know, the Americans versus the Germans. I think there's even a board that kind of simulates the whole Normandy invasion, and it's a very interesting game. But anyway, you made me think of that, and the whole just documentaries about, you know, things that went on and looking at little pieces and information, and right. Yeah, I just eat that up. There was that one. I don't remember if it was a TV show called Innovation. And it basically looked at one small innovation and how it completely changed the world. You know, like it would look at the spyglass and how, you know, as that disseminated into, you know, across cultures, you know, how it changed things, you know. And it was just a really interesting show. And I could just watch things like that and just soak in the useless knowledge that I'm never going to put to any use.
Right.
But just drink it in like, it's so delicious.
Yeah. So I checked out four movies from the library. So hopefully I'll have more to talk about next week.
Okay. Sounds good.
All right. So let's close the book on share time. And now we can talk about news.
Well, wait. One thing. Okay. So, when I thought we were going to cover our movie quote earlier in the show, and we didn't put it anywhere on our list.
All right. So, last week at the end of the show, and thank you for bringing it up, Art, because I totally forgot about it. So, we started kind of on like a pilot program kind of thing, that I would throw out a movie quote, and we would give you a week to figure out what it was. And so now, let's revisit the quote and what movie it's from. Art, do you have a guess on what movie it's from?
Okay, I have a guess.
Okay.
I thought about it long and hard when you played the quote. And then it wasn't until you made the quote.
Mm-hmm.
And then I actually re-listened to the shows when they drop.
Mm-hmm.
And when I re-listened to it, and I had an idea. So I have a guess. I have no idea if it's right or not. Okay. But so, and I remember the quote, with all this fresh air, we're going to sleep like a baby. And does that not lead into an argument about why do you want to sleep like a baby? Babies don't sleep very well. Doesn't it turn into that kind of conversation?
I vaguely remember
something along those lines. And so I'm thinking it's City Slickers.
No, it is not okay. City Slickers.
I got nothing then.
It is not City Slickers. It is a movie about two guys that are driving in a car that's got no hood on it. And the line is spoken by John Candy to Steve Martin.
Oh, my goodness, yes.
Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
I had nothing. And there you go. Proof that I'm not looking anything up.
Okay, so, all right. So, since we're talking about this, Here is entry number 2 into this little mini game that we have. Now, so this movie, this one's probably more of a slam dunk.
So
you sit upon a throne of lies. You sit upon a throne of lies.
That sounds so familiar.
So think about that, everyone, and we will talk about it next week. So now, with Art's approval, we can get to news.
Yes. Okay. So, to kick it off, I'm going to go the character Joss Whedon always wanted in the Avengers franchise. So we know that we were getting the Vision in Avengers Age of Ultron.
Mm-hmm.
And that he is being played by Paul Bettany, although we have yet to see any images of Mr. Bettany in the Vision costume. I am a huge Paul Bettany fan. Like, I've enjoyed every single thing I've ever seen him in. I wish he did more work. And he talks about how he had plans to get him, like, almost as soon as he got the Avengers, he was moving towards this a point where he could get the Vision on screen, and that he wanted Paul Bettany for the role all the way back when he first got Avengers, and how he spent years not being able to talk to Paul Bettany about it and wanting him to do this. So I just thought that was really interesting, and it just makes me all the more excited to get to May 1st to see the Avengers and to see the Vision. I've always really enjoyed that character, kind of the very stoic, just very interesting history there. So I am looking even more forward to the next Avengers movie.
Yeah, it's really a special thing when sometimes projects get the actors or actresses that they want, just because, you know, everyone's on a different timeline, it seems. And sometimes, you know, people fall out because just their schedule, they're committed to do other things.
Yes.
So I can appreciate that. That
helps me decide what I'm going to do next after you do your next story. So go ahead.
All right. So we talked about the new Star Trek movie, stepped down. Or I think it was a mutual decision by all the people involved that he not be the director, and they're going to go a different direction. So now, according to the Deadline, they have a short list of directors for the next Star Trek movie. And I got to say, I'm a little uneasy about this list. We'll get to that at the end. So their short list is Rupert Wyatt, who's done Rise of the Planet of the Apes.
Okay.
He's probably the one that I would probably feel the best about. Morten Tildum, who directed The Imitation Game, that's getting rave reviews. Haven't seen it, so I really can't evaluate his directing chops. Daniel Espinosa, who did Safe House. Didn't see that either. I think Safe House, that was Ryan Reynolds and Denzel Washington, I think. Justin Lin, who directed Fast and Furious. And the last name, Duncan Jones. I would be tickled if they got Duncan Jones to do it, because I think he's a very proficient director, and I think he's a guy who gets it.
What would I know him from? The name sounds really familiar.
Moon and Source Code, and he's currently directing Warcraft.
Okay, Moon. Yeah. Okay.
But Duncan Jones already got wind of this, and he's already put a tweet out. Very flattering being on the shortlist for Star Trek, but I won't be doing it. Absolutely. All caps, must make my own thing next, or I'll die of old age.
Oh.
So, but it looks like that Mr. Wyatt from Rise of the Planet of the Apes is the front runner for this. So we will pay attention. Some people are saying that they're conspicuously absent is Edgar Wright. So we don't know what's up with that. With Simon Pegg being Scotty, you'd think he'd have it in, but apparently not. All right, Art, what do you got
next? Isn't Edgar Wright the guy who's currently doing Ant-Man?
No, Edgar Wright left Ant-Man.
Oh, Edgar Wright left Ant-Man, okay.
So he's all straight. Yeah. Yeah, oh, we'll have to be a handout next time.
Okay, a little flow chart would be very helpful.
All right. What do you got next?
Okay. All right. John Hamm from Mad Men. I forget his name. Trevor. Nope. Lost it. Anyway, John Hamm has said no to playing at least two superheroes. From cunning businessman to suspicious law officer to determined sports agent, John Hamm has played a variety of roles over the year. However, one role he hasn't jumped into yet is that of a superhero, which is frankly surprising considering his rugged good looks and strong chin. During an interview with Red Radio Times, he said, "For me to sign on now to do a superhero movie would mean I would be working until I am 50 as that particular superhero. It's a lot of work at one thing, which is not necessarily the reason I got into the business, which is to do many things. If you want to spend all day pressing the same key, that seems an odd choice." So Hamm was propelled to fame when Mad Men debuted in 2007. So that's about 7 years worth of superhero movies to pick from, because he's been on Mad Men for 7 years. I don't see how that's any different, you know, doing a single character on a TV show for 7 years with, you know, about 22 episodes per season for seven seasons. That's like 150 something odd episodes at 40 minutes an episode. That's way more than a three movie contract you'd do, you know, possibly being a superhero.
So what I hear is that Mr. Hamm likes TV.
That's basically kind of what it seems like. Yeah,
that he likes TV, and, you know, he can make a movie during a hiatus, but if he, you know, commits to being a superhero, you know, maybe he needs to stop doing television.
I guess.
So, it's definitely, it could be a strategy where you don't want, you know, if you line up the next five movies you're going to do, that you're not playing the same character every time.
Yeah.
And, you know, I kept waiting for you to say pigeonhole because, once you commit to that, I mean, it is, you know, a major part of your life and what, you know, how much longer, because you never know how much longer you're going to be wanted by Hollywood.
Yeah, that's true.
You know,
like getting something, you know, big under your belt. I mean, look at one of my new favorites, and now I've completely blanked on his name. Star-Lord.
Chris Pratt.
Mm-hmm. Chris Pratt was, you know, solidly working in TV, and now is kind of filling this action hero-y role.
He's in Jurassic World.
Right,
and
right.
Now his name's coming up in with a possible Ghostbusters movie.
Interesting.
Yeah, well, I guess Ghostbusters, they're going down the road of getting a all-female Ghostbusters movie going. But they're talking about doing a second one where the main two actors are going to be Chris Pratt and Channing Tatum.
Nice.
Which is interesting because they're scientists, I think, but.
Right.
Anyways, that's kind of a mini story. But anyways, I just had to chime in with that.
Okay, so.
Why don't you hit us with another one?
Sure. Okay. So we talked about this very briefly. The Suicide Squad may have found its Amanda Waller. And so it is. Latino Review is reporting that Viola Davis has been cast as Waller for the 2016 blockbusters. Davis one of several contenders for the role alongside The Help co-star Octavia Spencer and Oprah Winfrey. The actress currently starring in How to Get Away with Murder. So, I think she's a great actress, and I can't wait to see what she does with the character.
Yeah, same here. Same here. I wish I knew more about the character, but she should be very good. She'd be very good. Okay, this is my last news story. Apparently, J.K. Rowling wants to write more Harry Potter stuff. So she's been writing these little short stories. I haven't seen them personally, so this is a secondhand report that apparently on the official Harry Potter site, Pottermore.com, she's releasing a short story, I believe, for every day starting December 12th. 12th, running up until December 24th. You just have to answer some riddles to get to the story. So if that sounds interesting to you, I would suggest going to Pottermore.com. And, you know, I'm going to wait, kind of like when the comics come out, I just wait for the trade paperback. I'm going to wait until some other site publishes them all so I don't have to jump through the hoops, because yes, I am not well-versed enough in my Harry Potter lore to figure out any of the riddles. That's why I couldn't play Curse of Monkey Island. I had to do the hint book because I'm terrible at puzzles. All right. So, Art, what do you have next?
Okay. So, it seems like AMC is getting on board with the whole movie pass thing. We talked about this a while back, where we're talking about, I am locking up. Sorry, give me a second.
No problem.
Yes?
You're snoring a little.
I'm awake.
Oh, okay.
Is that me?
Okay. Oh, is it Mr. Ted's?
I'm really awake. I'm watching this.
Okay. Sorry about that.
No, it's okay.
Oh, my goodness. This thing is... Okay. MoviePass, which has been in operation since 2012, is a movie ticket subscription service that likens itself to Netflix. Users pay $30 a month to see as many movies as they'd like in a theater. You can go every day if you like. The company makes movie off people who don't take advantage of it daily, and Variety now says the company is ready to step up its game through a partnership with major theater chain in AMC Theaters. Trade notes of the pilot program for MoviePass will be in two cities in 2015, Boston for 9 theaters and Denver for 10 locations. The program will expand to other markets based on user interest. And since subscribers will purchase a monthly pass for somewhere between $30 and $45 and then be able to see a movie a day. Given the fact the average movie day ticket at an AMC location costs $9.50, you can recoup the cost by seeing 4 movies in the course of a month. If you see 5 or more, you are saving money. So that is MoviePass, and we have AMC is one of the big theaters here. There are 3 major AMC, like AMC 30s, so the big megaplexes.
Yeah, we have an AMC 30 by us.
Yeah, and one of which is literally 5 minutes down the road.
Yeah,
from here. It is not my theater of choice because there's a theater that's actually closer and cheaper. So, and I don't mind that their seats aren't as comfortable.
Yeah, it seems like there's
not as new.
It seems like there's more and more subscription models coming out.
Yes.
You know, so I can totally see it.
It's definitely something I could see doing as Aubrey gets a little older. Because right now there's probably only 2 or 3 movies a month I might actually go see with her. But, you know, as she gets a little older and it opens up to more possibilities, that's not a bad deal.
Yeah. No, I agree with you there. I agree with you there. But, you know, I just worry that if you're a theater hopper, if they're going to be paying attention more because of this. But we'll see. We'll see. All right, Art, what do you got next?
Okay, and for the last one, why Mark Hamill was convinced they'd never make any more Star Wars movies. Harrison Ford hasn't mentioned anything about the Star Wars Force Awakens publicly. Even Carrie Fisher has been mum since that amazing first trailer dropped. But their colleague, Mark Hamill, has been his usual chatty open self, talking about the young talent involved in the new cast and how he never dreamed he'd ever get an opportunity to hold Luke Skywalker's lightsaber again. We had a beginning, a middle, and an end, and I certainly, in a million years, never expected to return. I thought, even if they do more trilogies, my story is over. George had told us that he wasn't going to do them many, many years ago, but times and circumstances change. It's kind of like Scrooge on Christmas morning. Oh my God, this time I'm going to appreciate it in a way that I wasn't able to as a young man. That's probably not the best way to express what it was. We knew it was special, but it reminds me of taking out a pair of trousers from the back of the closet and discovering a $20 bill in the pocket. So I just like that he is so excited to be kind of revisiting the role. He always seemed to me the kind of the most grounded of the bunch.
Yes, and I think that he is of the three big ones, or the three big actors that were in the Star Wars movies, that he kind of stayed in the genre,
yeah,
you know, so to speak, because of all of his voiceover work on the video games.
Right, like right.
Joker and that kind of thing.
Well, he even did a lot of, like, B-movie sci-fi, you know, Slipstream and, what's that one? It's going to bug me now. I watched the anime, and I am totally blanking, and never mind. Geno Cyber, that's the one.
Okay.
So, I mean,
I wouldn't have come up with that one.
No. It was so minor, and his role in it was so weird. But he was there, and he was working, and, you know, he didn't mind. You know, I think he, and I can't think he, you know, he worked so consistently. I really don't think it was, you know, for a paycheck. I really think it's what he enjoyed doing. From what I know of him, that's kind of the way I feel it is. I don't know that for sure, but that's the sense that I get.
Yeah, and you reminded me of another thing that I saw, and I apologize to our listeners for not tracking it down. Did you hear about the ball droid in the Episode 7 trailer?
That it's a practical effect?
That it's a practical effect.
Yes, I did hear that. And
wow.
Oh, goodness.
Wow. So I hope that's, I mean, it's, you know, could be true, but I hope it's true. That's not just a rumor. But so you're done with news?
No, I'm done with news. That's all I got, sir.
All right. So we're at the end of news, and we're at the end of our show, guys. Let's take a quick moment and remind you, because we're not doing the games anymore, we haven't any voicemails. So just in case you had the inkling of sending us a voicemail to tell Art or myself or both of us that we're wrong, or just talk about a movie that you've seen recently that we haven't talked about, you can call our voicemail number, 618-207-4794. Also, if you go to backseatproducers.com, there is a button for the call me, and our voicemail system will call your house. That way you can avoid long distance charges, or you can just go to the blog post for each episode and you can put comments there, or you can send comments through Twitter to at Better in the Back, or you can send it to Art at Art Santos Jr., or you can send it to me at JB63. That's JAYBEE 63. We'd love to hear from you, good or bad. Good or bad. Is there anything that that you'd like to say during our little closing ceremonies, Art?
No. Go watch a movie. Yes. Get in contact with us.
So for all of those that did so, thank you for listening. And we will catch you next time.